one thing we have to keep in mind is that, and we talked about it on the show,
but at the same time, it comes from two different points.
Then all of a sudden, you want to say, oh, what
do you think? I think for me, I don't know if I can speak for everybody else.
This is Dead End Sports.
This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead End Sports. I'm your host, Kenneth B. Inch. Joining me on the show, we have Shelton J.
What's the word, man? How y'all doing?
Chilling.
Good.
Manny?
What is good, everybody?
And Nikki Duse?
What's going on?
And of course, you guys know who I am. There is BZ may join us after Dead End Gaming. Make sure you guys subscribe and go watch the replay of that, on their Twitch channel, twitch.tv/deadendgamingATL. So he may be joining us a little bit later, but there will be no FIFO tonight. He's on vacation.
He on vacation. Yeah. He on a long ass vacation. Yeah, bro. Shit.
10 days, man. I'm
jealous.
Man, that's escapade.
Boy.
Shit.
Manny, what you got going on? How's Any Given Sunday and all that?
Any Given Sunday is great, man. We grinded them out. We churning them out, man. We dropped a really dope episode this past week, or this newest episode we got, man. We get into a lot. Deshaun, everything that's going on with that. We get into the whole Asian hate thing. I mean, we get into a lot, man. It's deep. So I recommend everybody to check it out. It's dope. I'm getting good feedback on it. It's going to be a little controversial, depending on some of your opinions or wherever you stand, but yeah, it's dope. So check it out, man. And I got the new baseball pod, one episode in. So, you know, trying to stay busy, man. Trying to be the hardest working man in podcasting.
What's the name of the baseball, Manny?
I Love Baseball. Mm. Or I Heart Baseball. So it's everywhere. You can follow it anywhere, at all platforms, etc. It's out there. So check it out. Later on the show before I get out of here.
Shelton, you had some breaking news on the last Tuesday when it came to Deshaun Watson. I mean, we're going to start with the NFL because that's a case that's literally continuously getting bigger and bigger. I think right now we're up. I think I saw it's between 16 and 22 cases on fire.
It was like 16 to 60.
14 lawsuits for sure.
14 lawsuits. Yeah.
35?
14 lawsuits and up to 20. I saw 22 women was the last I saw.
They keep moving the number up, man.
Yeah, these numbers is crazy. There was a report that came on NFL.com.
16, I'm sorry. 16 filed now.
Yeah, it's gotten to the point where the Deshaun's lawyer had to make a statement, and you can read that on NFL.com. It's, the headline is Deshaun Watson facing 16 lawsuits in Texas. How do y'all, like, my question to y'all, how does this affect Deshaun's upcoming season / NFL career? Because at this point, it's getting to, like, I feel like the NFL has to respond.
We talked about it on AGS this past weekend. When it's a couple here and there, two or three, you know, you could kind of, and let me say this first and foremost, the timing is very, very, very suspect. I think we can all agree that the timing is less to be desired. But that being said, man, I mean, again, two or three, you could kind of be like, okay, 16? Like 16 now lawsuits have been filed. Obviously, may not be all 16 of them are valid or whatever, but 16 lawsuits have been filed. Like at this point, it's a serious situation. I mean, these are criminal allegations now you're potentially facing here. So the NFL is going to have to respond at some point. The Texans are going to have to respond. The NFL is going to have to respond. Deshaun, like, we got to hear from Deshaun at some point, like what, or at least his representatives, his agent, lawyer, whatever. I mean, we got to hear from somebody because now it's past a situation where it's like, oh, okay, it's rumors or rumblings, or it's just a story that's out there. Now this is gaining steam. And I mean, it just feels like every day is just another allegation or another couple of allegations. So, yeah, we definitely have reached that point where the NFL is going to have to get involved. As far as how does it affect his season? I mean, I don't know. I don't know if we can even answer that, right? Because you got to believe he's going to face some sort of suspension, you know, for violating the personal conduct rule, right? I mean, I would think at some point if some of these allegations are valid. And then not to mention whatever legal proceedings have to occur. So I think right now that's an unanswerable question right now.
It really, for me, it comes down to these text messages and the proof and the evidence. Because from what I've seen from the lawyers for Deshaun, they have no way of doing research because they won't announce or they won't allow them the information as to who's filing the lawsuits. So they don't even know who these women are. So in saying that they can't build a defense around anything based off the fact that they won't tell them who the people are filing the lawsuits. But according to, I think, court documents so far, there are text messages, other interaction between him and the plaintiffs. And it's a civil suit, so it's not criminal as of yet. So in that case, police won't get involved yet. NFL and Texans will have to get involved at some point, like we said, but it depends on those messages and the contact that he had with these women.
But I did read somewhere this weekend though that they're I don't know if it's the lawyer of one of the case, they are considering criminal charges at some point. So I mean, that's out there. I mean, it isn't right now, but I mean, with the way this story is going, like tomorrow we could wake up and they've moved exactly to a criminal charge. You know what I mean? So
hey, we got a super chat from We Them Boys. Appreciate you as always. Hey, man, we appreciate y'all for the support that you put out with the super chat.
Yes, sir.
Everything that you do helps us to grow and get bigger, and we appreciate everything that you all do. If we hadn't said that yet, I wanted to make sure that I make that clear. So We Them Boys said all 16 cases are represented by the same shady lawyer, Tony Busby, which is correct.
Yeah, I was about to mention that. Yeah, shout out to We Them Boys for mentioning that. That's the thing that, again, this whole, we're in an era where you got to be real careful about how you even speak about these things. But at the same time, that's the thing that kind of, I'm just sitting back and I'm just, because like Manny said, we're getting new information literally, it seems like every hour, definitely every 24 hours. So it's like, I feel like things can change. So I don't want to make a stand just yet. But at the same time, a lot of stuff does look suspect. A lot of stuff, like to Sheldon's point, the fact that they haven't been able to, you know, do their own research on their side as far as Deshaun's side when it comes to the who's accusing him of these, you know, heinous allegations. Like, to me, there has to be something that's leading up to the big reveal. So I'm going to just sit back and watch, but it does not look good for Deshaun at all. Like, this shit is like, I don't know how he can prove.
Use the words, the big reveal. Ain't that what got him in trouble?
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, man, like, I don't know how he comes out of this unless he's like cleared of all charges and every one of them are false allegations, which at this point is like the numbers just don't, you know, speak on that. I don't know if that's just me, but I just don't see how he could be cleared of all these charges.
Yeah, it's not true, bro. It's not true. I mean, like I said, a couple, you could be like, all right, you know, somebody playing 16, like 16, you go 0 for 16 as far as allegations. I mean, there's got to be something there. And look, I'm hoping there isn't. I mean, I don't know Deshaun Watson. I don't know any of these women or whatever. So I don't have a dog in the fight as far as I want the women to be right or I want Deshaun to be. I'm just, whatever happened, man, I hope we get some answers to it. Cause it, you know, as far as Deshaun Watson goes, it doesn't look good.
What you thinking about this, Ken? You still reading?
At this point, man, I just need to see some facts. I just need to see some facts. My opinion hasn't changed. It's suspect. The more information and facts that come out, nah, it's not looking good. You're talking about, they said these civil suits are from three different states. But you know, I know a lot of stuff can be coordinated. And when you have a high volume of people, that places a lot of doubt in people's minds about what's real and what isn't. And, you know, civil suits, you know, historically have been easier to win or settle in court. But in this era of Me Too, you know, any allegations is you're automatically guilty. So so I think that's what's working against him outside. Well, that doesn't help him at all. Outside of the fact that he, you know, possibly did it. But or more than likely. finally did it, I should say. But I'm just waiting to see it, man. It just feels fishy to me. I'm not changing my stance. I'm more than willing to change my stance once I see, you know, the facts as Busby and all these people start to present them. And really the onus is really on them. If I'm Deshaun Watson, I ain't saying shit. I am not saying a goddamn word. Everything is going through my attorney. And that is the best course of action for him. He need to pull in Colin Kaepernick, man. Just don't even speak to the media. Don't do anything. Just let that go, man. So that's what it is. So if Busby and like Shelton just said, with the text messages, if they got all that stuff, then at some point they need to start rolling it out because they're really trying him in the court of public opinion.
Yes. Yes.
And that's what's happening right now.
Yeah. And the lawyer's background doesn't help with this situation either. Cause like Manny said, or somebody said like he's a shady lawyer or something like that. At least if you look at his resume and his past dealing. So yeah, like you said, Ken, I'm just sitting back and waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the only thing we can do. Wait till the facts come out. I will say though, man, we got to tread lightly on this. Cause I know that sometimes, I mean, we all men, we brothers or whatever. And we always on the show want to be pro brother, but at the same time, this is a very tricky topic in the climate that we're in. And there have been other times where people in general have been dismissive of these kind of allegations or whatever. And then the other shoe drops. So yeah, I think we just need to wait for all the facts, like you guys said, and one way or another, see what comes out, what's out there. Right. Cause yeah, just right now, it just kind of feels like everything is just kind of flying all over the place. Like allegation here, allegation there, today, tomorrow. Now it's a criminal charge. Now it's not. It's all over the place. So yeah, hopefully we find out more because right now, yeah, this does not look too good right now at the moment.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. But you know, if Busby, you know, got all these cases and got them by the balls, where they at?
From what I do know, it takes time because you also got to coordinate with each victim and if they want their names. I mean, there's legal aspects to this too. And the reason I'm saying be careful, right? Because you know the Mets just recently had some situation, not similar but similar, with their GM that they hired. I'm sure you guys heard the story. They hired a GM mm-hmm. and they had to fire him 6 weeks later because he was basically being a pervert. So, you know, ESPN sat on that story for 3 years. Like they sat on that story for 3 years because they couldn't get consent from the female that was making the allegations against Jared Porter. So these things take time, man. And I know it's unpopular to say that. And again, everything that y'all are saying are right. This lawyer is shady. He may be representing all 14, 15, however many women there is. That being said, got to be careful because, again, the other shoe drops and then we out here looking like idiots, you know, and this dude.
Did it.
Man, if you can see my group chat with my homies, bro, these niggas like, bro, this Watson's a full out freak.
I mean...
This nigga pots it on some other shit, bro. Boy. Yeah.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
It don't even look like it's going to be a happy ending for him.
He might. Hey, we talked about it on the show the other day, but he might get his wish. He might be out of Houston one way or another.
That's probably why he's trying to leave.
Man.
They not masseusing right up there. Just out there. I need to go where they treat a brother right.
He done ran out of parlors. Ain't nowhere else to go. Hey.
Deshaun out here acting like Chris Tucker in Rush Hour.
He got a Groupon all over Texas, bro.
I want this one. I want that one. I want this one.
Oh my God! It's not the Groupon.
Oh shit!
All right, let's move on to the NBA. First and foremost, RIP to a Laker NBA legend. Period. Elgin Baylor. Yes. He passed recently. A lot of NBA legends and even current NBA players have given their condolences to Elgin Baylor. Manny, I know you got something to say, but I also want to open up the floor. Anybody else got any, you know, things to say about this legend who we lost?
RIP to the great Elgin Baylor, man. He was revolutionary in a lot of ways, man. He was. You know, doing things before his time. I mean, obviously, none of us got to watch him play, but you know, he really changed the way basketball was played. If you go back and watch documentaries, talk to the OGs and the old heads, and they'll tell you, you know, he was doing things that were ahead of his time in the '50s, you know, like the '50s. So, yeah, RIP to him. And I think he's probably the most underrated great player. And I'm not the only one that says, I mean, obviously it's been said out there now the last couple of days, but I mean, you really don't hear about Elgin Baylor. And then you look at his numbers and you look at his stats, like the dude was incredible. He was great. And he just doesn't get that attention that other great players get, you know what I'm saying? For whatever the reason, maybe because it was a long time ago and people always have a little bit of skepticism on that era of basketball, but hey, numbers are numbers and you can only control the era that you're in. And the dude was incredible. So RIP to him, lived a good life. And yeah, his legacy, I guess, will live on.
He averaged like 27 and 13, correct? Something like that.
I don't have the stats in front of me, but yeah, it's something to that extent. Yeah.
Yeah, for his whole career, which is definitely impressive. That's just a crazy thing. And he played in I need to look that up again too. He played in a bunch of finals. They didn't win a lot. Did he win?
No, he lost. He lost all. He played in the finals like 8 times.
And lost.
He lost to the Celtics, I believe. I think he lost all 8 times to the Celtics.
Yeah, him and Jerry West. I was run this by you too. I was thinking about that. That may have been the reason why his legacy was what it was. You know, up until this point, of course, now you can pay attention to him, but that may have been what hurt him, is the fact that he made it that many times without a championship. So maybe that's why he didn't get the respect he deserves.
And that's what kind of annoys me about the whole championships talk, because there's no nuance and there's no context to the discussion, right? Because, you know, I know we all indulge in it, right, to a point, right? Yeah, we ain't got a championship. But, I mean, is anybody going to doubt Jerry West or Elgin Baylor's greatness? Like, first of all, they were going up against a Celtic team that had, what, 8 damn Hall of Famers in it. Like, at some point, you just got to be like, you know, this is just the squad I'm dealing with. So, yeah. So the whole championship talk sometimes can get a little annoying. Like, the guy was a great player, whatever era he was in. And, I think he should get more love and more attention, and he doesn't for some reason.
You got anything to say about Elgin?
No, actually, I don't.
I was going to say, weren't you around when he was playing this shit?
Well, I was trying to say. I was trying to die.
All right. Let's move on to some current topics going on right now. If you're watching the Lakers game right now, you are probably a Lakers fan, super fan, because LeBron James and AD are out. LeBron James has been hit with a high ankle sprain, and his timeline, I don't know, man, if you got any updates, but right now, I don't think he has any return as far as his timeline.
Not yet.
So it's AD and LeBron out, two of the best players on their team. They're going to be out until probably the playoffs. Shit. My question to y'all is, how far will the Lakers drop in the West when it comes to seeding now that their two stars are out?
How many games left?
I think it should be less than 20.
They're right there. Let me see. They're going to drop at least a 6 or 7. Well, they're going to drop 6 no matter what. Because they were only, a game and a half above in 6. Last I checked, let me see, because I could be off a little bit. Don't forgive me if I am. But they're going to drop. Let me see where they are now.
They're 2.5 back from 6.
Yeah, they're in third now in 2.5. 5 out of 8.
5 out of 8?
Yeah.
Did you watch any of that game tonight?
I was watching it a few minutes ago.
Watched bits and pieces of it. I haven't watched the whole game.
And the lowest you got them going is 6 after watching it?
No, I didn't say 6.
Oh, you sorry, Sean.
No, I said it's going to be 6 quick. I was just about to say this team is going to drop probably into the playoff. So they'll be a 9th or 10th
team.
The Lakers.
You think they can miss the playoffs?
No. They're not going to miss the playoffs. They're going to be in the playoffs. They'll make the tournament.
They're only 5 games out of the AFC.
Right.
First of all,
They can easily lose 5 games straight.
I understand that. I understand that. I'm not saying it cannot happen. I'm just trying to take a realistic approach. Look, I'm a Laker fan, so I'm a little biased on this. Look, am I concerned? Yes. Obviously, anytime you have your two best players out, especially two best players of that caliber, of course you're going to be concerned. Is it nuclear level concern? Like, I'm out here like, oh my God, we're going to miss the playoffs. We're going to even drop to the sixth seed. I wouldn't go that far. Just because I just don't love this Western Conference. Like, honestly, like, even if we did drop to the sixth seed, like, I'm really not intimidated by anybody really in the West. Like, look at who's the top two seeds right now. Phoenix and Utah. Does anybody really believe that Phoenix and Utah are going to win a championship this year? I doubt that. So right now, the Lakers are in preservation mode. They're playing prevent defense. Let's just get through the regular season. Let's get our guys healthy for May, whenever the playoffs start, May 15th or whatever. And let's just go from there. That's when the Lakers season really begins, is playoff time, playoff mode activation. Like, that's when it starts. Right now, it's just getting LeBron and AD healthy, getting through the regular season. They're not going to lose five games in a row. They're not going to fall into the playing games or the playing tournament or whatever. They're not going to do that. They'll figure out a way to. The Lakers just have to keep their heads above water. They just got to tread water. If they could just play at a 500 level, they'll be able to at least stay in a top four seed level.
Manny, that's not happening though. You're talking.
We don't know that. We don't know that. We can say that right now, but we don't know that.
We know it based off what we're seeing on the court and the product that we're seeing. This team has nothing. They have nothing. We at this point, Kuzma was the key, in my opinion. And I love Kuzma, but he still ain't doing jack with the Lakers. He got 14 points tonight, under Melo's average, by the way, and. Somebody got to step up on this team, and they don't have it. They don't have anybody to do that. They've lost.
And you're right. I'm not arguing with you, Shelton, but I'm just saying I'm not gonna take these last two losses and be like, okay, right, that's it. Panic mode. Lakers are gonna be in the playing game. Like, no, I think we have to sit back and if this continues in the next week, 2 weeks, Lakers have lost 5 out of 6, 6 out of 8, or whatever, something like that, crazy. Then okay, then we can revisit that conversation. But 0-2 since LeBron been out, like I. Yeah, I'm not going to push the panic button just yet.
The only reason I would disagree with you on that is you push a panic button based off the way they're losing these games. The Suns beat up on them and it wasn't close. It was they never had a chance. They're playing right now against 11-seeded Pelicans and they're looking like the startup franchise right now. They're looking like Houston looked last week. This team looks bad. It just looks really, really bad. The product I watched on the court, I didn't watch the whole game. I was watching part of the game, but the parts I saw, everything looked terrible. Everything. Montrez didn't look good. Kuzma did nothing. Nothing. You just don't get any. There's nothing that says that this team can be 500 down the stretch without LeBron. There's nothing. The only thing they can do is hope to make a trade. But other than that, if you keep this roster as constructed, I don't see them being 500 if LeBron is out for an extended period of time. Unless, like I said, something happens and somebody steps up. Next game, they're going to be playing the Sixers. The game after that, they're playing the Cavs, which is a winnable game. The Magic, which is a winnable game, kind of. Then they'll be playing the Bucks, which they're not going to win. They'll play the Kings.
That's 2-2 right there. If you play that out, that's 2-2 right there. That's 500 basketball. Right there.
If they play it out. If, but like I said, right. The way they play.
I was going to say, man, you starting these sentences with if.
But I don't know.
And I don't see no liquor around you.
But he's kind of right. I mean,
but even just a couple before you fire off, Ken, like even the Sixers, right? Like a couple weeks ago, right? Joel Embiid is going to be out for an extended period of time. Oh my God, are the Sixers going to drop out of the first?
Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris.
Yeah,
and I understand nobody. I'm just saying that you have to take a measured approach to these things. Like you can't get too panicky in these situations. Like okay, I get it. As a Laker fan, I am concerned. Am I worried? Am I sitting here? You know, like Shelton. Oh yeah, basically they're gonna be playing the damn Kings in the damn playing game. Like, no, I'm not gonna go.
I'm not gonna go
that nuclear. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to sit back and watch the product unfold in these next week, 2 weeks, or whatever, and then revisit it. Now, if we hear in 2 weeks, and the Lakers look horrible, like they haven't won a game or they barely won any two games, then yeah, we can reevaluate. But right now.
Manny will be here in 2 weeks. And the thing about what you said was, you said it, we'll have to evaluate the product. And the product is where the problem is. When Joel Embiid went down, as a Sixers fan, I didn't worry as much. I was kind of like you are now. because I knew the product that they had. I know Tobias was going to be steady. I know they had a couple people who could kind of step into roles and kind of fill in and make it happen. You still got the shooters on the outside. You got Seth. You know, you got Ben who's going to lock down somebody.
And the Lakers don't have any of this?
No, the Lakers don't have none of that. Who's going to do anything? They ain't doing nothing.
Schroeder doesn't do anything. Montrezl Harrell doesn't do anything.
Dennis Schroeder tonight is 2 for 9.
Had a bad game.
13 points. What I'm saying is, he's a decent player. He's decent. But who else did you say? Name somebody else.
Montrezl Harrell. Okay, he had a bad game.
Montrezl Harrell ain't done jet.
Okay, he had a bad game.
He had a decent game today. He had 16 points today.
The Lakers are bad tonight.
Montrezl is best when he's surrounded by better players. If he's that better player, you're in trouble. And right now, he's that better player. He's leading them in scoring tonight. And once again, they did nothing. Kuz is decent. He's serviceable, but he's putting up rookie numbers in my opinion.
You was looking at Kuz stats a little hard, trying to sniff like,
yeah, there gotta be something bad in his.
No. I was looking at Kuz stats saying that Kuz should be giving me 25 points a game at this point. Right now is his time to shine. Now he got all the shots in the world. Where is it at? Why is he not taking
it? Shelton, hold on, bro. You know good and damn well Kuzma is not a 25-point scorer a night.
I didn't say a night. I'm saying when it counts. He can do it now. He should be able to without
not late, even when it counts,
without
man.
LeBron and AD, you don't think Kuzma can score 25 Kuzma points is, in a game?
Kuzma in today's NBA? 25 Kuzma, a night?
Yes. 25 a night is probably a little too much of an ask, but he could give you 20.
He should be over 20.
He'll give you 20.
How many he got now?
Who's an easy spot? But he's got what, 16?
He got 14. 13,
14.
Yeah, he trying to take away points from the brother. he can get 20 easy from there. So, yeah, 20. But 25, you trying to act like you want this man to replace
him. Let me get 20.
On a good night, Kuz can get 25. Kuz get 20.
Yeah.
If he's getting 30 shots, Kuz gets 25.
Kuzma has taken them up.
Or he should be able to. Let's put it that way.
He should be on this team. Kuzma should be taking the most shots.
Look,
next should be Dennis Schroeder.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not. All I am saying is I am going to take a conservative approach to this, and I'm just going to wait and see.
I got you.
And then we'll reevaluate. Now again, if we hear next week and the Lakers have lost every single game they've played up to that point, then okay. Then I will be with you in that panic room saying we need to do something. But right now, I'm not ready to go.
I'll say this, Manny, I know you ain't panicking, but I see your hand hovering over that button. I know you looking at these standards like how I'm looking at it. I'm like, all right, we'll see. I mean, if you counting on Dennis Schroeder,
part of it also, Nick, is like I don't see the Warriors of KD and stuff. Like I don't see another down. I don't even see a Harden CP3 Rockets team. Like there's no other team that really instills fear in me as a Laker fan. Like outside of the Clippers, maybe if they decide they want to play together that given day, I don't know, maybe the Nuggets on just sheer talent. But outside of that, like, am I supposed to be scared of Rudy Gobert and Joe Ingles and the Jazz? Like, am I supposed to be scared of Miles Bridges and Devin Booker, who's never hit a big shot in his life? Like,
if Rudy got that virus, that Rona, you gonna be everybody.
I'm supposed to be worried about journeyman Chris Paul, the best leader in the NBA, 37.
You shouldn't be worried about these guys if you had LeBron and AD. You don't have LeBron and AD, so you should be worried about
I'm assuming that I'm going to have LeBron and AD as of May 15th, 13th, whenever the hell the playoffs start. Like,
I need to
I'm
know assuming, how many games, but we're talking about the games leading up to that point. Now, when they get back,
that's my point, though. Right now, yeah. the Lakers are going to make the playoffs. I think all four of us can agree. The Lakers, by unless the bottom completely falls out, the Lakers are going to be in the playoffs, right? I think we all can agree with that. Right.
Talk to me in two weeks, man. We go ahead. That's it.
Yeah, I'm with you now. Now I'm with you. Let's come back and revisit that conversation.
Yeah, because
right now,
yeah. My only thing is just the cushion that y'all got. Y'all only got a 5-game cushion. In the 2 weeks, the way they play, they play a game every week.
But you're trusting other teams to also be playing at a high level. Also,
yeah,
that's the other thing about this too.
I'm just trusting that you're gonna get, by being a Laker and by being a champion, you're gonna get every team's best shot, especially when you're wounded. So it's saying that these guys are gonna get up for these games, and that's the difference.
They might.
Yeah, you kind of saying, Manny, that they went from being like the elite of the elite, to kind of falling in line with the rest of the team, some of the basically teams below them.
Mm-hmm. Basically,
yeah.
I mean, again, like Nick said, if we're here next week or 2 weeks from now and the Lakers haven't done shit, like, then yeah, we can reevaluate and we could definitely, and I'll be the first one with you. Like, yo, I'm concerned as a Laker fan right now. I'm not ready to go Shelton level. Oh yeah. They need to worry. They're basically going to be playing the Kings.
I'm telling you, man, you better join me
to play in, to get into the playoffs. Like, no,
better join me, man. Because I'm telling you, like you take this game tonight with the Pelicans, I guarantee you any amount of money, the Pelicans had this game circled on their calendar. And because LeBron went down, that didn't make their excitement go down. Now they just want to beat him even more. Everybody's aiming for the Lakers. That's your benchmark.
Everybody's aiming for the Lakers, but at the end of the day, talent, the way you play on a given night, the way the Lakers play. Clearly, the Lakers didn't play well tonight. Like, obviously, we can make that assessment that they didn't play well. Like Dennis Schroeder didn't play well. Montrezl Harrell didn't play well. Right now, those are the two or three best players they have, and neither one of them played well, right?
I'm sorry. Let me clarify. I did not mean that Kuzma was going to average 25 a night. I say he should be able to get you 25, not average 25 a night. Let me clear that up. Kuzma still should be able to average 20 points a game, but not get you 25 every night. But he should be able to get you 25 points when you need it to contribute to winning a game. And he has not done that yet. That's what I was saying. I had to fix that. I'm sorry.
You know why I don't fret on this? Because I remember a couple years ago. I think it was either the last year KD was in Golden. No, it was the year before. And I think either Steph got hurt or KD got hurt for like a month. And they lost their first two games without whoever that person was that got hurt. I don't remember. But they lost like their first two games, blowouts. Everybody, oh, the Warriors, are they in trouble? And then the Warriors went on like a 14-2 run. I'm not saying the Lakers are the Warriors. Let's put it that way. But I'm just saying these things change like that in the NBA. Like, you figure out your roles, you get your players to step up. The Lakers just need their guys to step up. If Montrezl Harrell, Dennis Schroeder, and Kyle Kuzma play up to the potential that I think we all think they should be, even though we have questions about Kuzma, whatever. Like, if they play up to the talent level that they have, the Lakers should be much better than this.
Yeah, a lot of what I saw tonight was them not knowing how to play without LeBron. You know,
who's partially, yeah. Shot
when, where, you know, spacing. A lot of they just look dysfunctional. But I think as they continue to play without LeBron, maybe Dennis steps into the alpha role that he needs to step in, and Kuz and Trez kind of follow suit, and then KCP just hit a shot. Like, you know, he can't, I don't know what's going on with him. He can't hit anything, you know, get THT some more time. Cause I think THT could really be the X factor. You know, if they kind of let him play a little bit more, cause he makes a lot of things happen.
Yep.
And then they can find, you know, they can find their rhythm and start to win out a couple more games.
If you're the Lakers in the next 10 games, your goal is to just go 5-5. If you can go 5-5 in the next 10 games, then that's what I mean. You're just keeping yourself settled. And hopefully you may, if at worst you lose ace place in the standings, then you're still good.
Now we get to see what kind of coach they got in Frank Vogel.
Absolutely.
We already know. Like, we haven't seen, we know what Vogel is.
Yeah. It ain't good. Tickelo Kane said,
hey, he got a championship though.
LeBron, I can have one with LeBron. Tickelo said,
don't
let's
say
be
that.
Honest, the Lakers are missing Danny Green. I agree with you, Tickelo. That's the difference.
Oh, my God. Please stop bringing that.
I got another question. I got one more question about this whole LeBron injury. Now that we have Joel Embiid and LBJ out for an extended period of time, basically the playoffs, who is in the lead now for MVP race? Because
yeah, the NBA schedule.
Because I can make
COVID is the MVP. COVID.
I'll say that Dame could see Dame Lillard making a case for his chance at MVP. His numbers are crazy.
Yeah, his numbers are incredible. I mean, I think the MVP race is completely. Is Steph back? I know Steph missed a couple games.
Curry.
Steph Curry. Yeah, I know he was leading the league in scoring before he went out.
But he ain't even in the playoffs right now. So
he in the com- in the playoffs, or they're like, they're ninth, they're in the conversation for that playing game. Look, I think right now with Joel and LeBron out, I think the MVP is completely wide open. I mean, it's wide open. It's gonna go down to who finishes the season strong. I mean, it could be Jokic, it could be Dame, it could be Steph. I mean, those are the three names that come to my attention right now. I mean, if Giannis has a big finish to his season, you know, you can't discount Giannis.
Giannis three times in a row, that's never happened.
But I mean, if he puts that team on his back and he just balls out the next 2 months, I mean, again, that's what I'm saying. The MVP race is completely wide open right now.
Like, I don't think so.
Completely wide open.
I think it's more. It would be more. I think the Dame deserves top consideration for it, but I don't think he'll get that respect.
Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
I don't see Donnie getting it.
I don't see him getting it either.
I don't see him getting it, but I think he shifts now into that conversation. Like,
yes, I agree.
If before it was LeBron, Joel, and maybe Jokic in that top three-ish range, and then there was like a second tier, I think that now Donovan shifts from that second tier to now in the conversation. Because, again, who else are you going to give it to? I mean, if they win the top seed in the West?
It's going to be James Harden. That's just my thinking of it at this point, based off his play and what the league thinks of him. I don't think, like I said, it's his narrative. Yes. In my opinion, Dame deserves it, but I just think James Harden.
I don't see the writers rewarding James Harden with
exactly
the way he pulled it off in Houston. Yeah, I don't see it. I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't see it.
Kyrie?
If he comes back from PTO? If he comes back from PTO, maybe.
Oh, yeah. He's out for another three days.
He out for 3 days.
Yeah.
He got three days
or three games.
Yeah, he got PTO, man. He got PTO.
They say you either use it or lose it.
For real.
We'll be back after this quick break.
Another award race that we got going on. There was some, some Neanderthal put this in our Dead End Sports.
There's no race.
Neanderthal.
This Neanderthal said whether he plays again or this year or not, LaMelo Ball is rookie of the year, period.
Absolutely not.
No.
Period.
I ain't gonna say the name and put it in there. But
period.
He on the show and he got a red cap.
I must have missed that one. Anyway.
My question to y'all is, should he win the rookie of the year even though his campaign has been cut short? He's only played 41 games this season.
I'm saying if the season ended today, he would be the rookie of the year. Absolutely. I don't think you can even debate that. Now, obviously, the season didn't end today, right? And unfortunately, he suffered an injury. That happens. Unfortunately for him, hopefully he gets better. I think he will. But yeah, I think the rookie of the year now is wide open as well. Like, now you have Anthony Edwards and
Anthony Edwards too inconsistent.
He's been balling the last few games.
He's been inconsistent
because he don't play for the
Bulls. Do you hear what y'all saying? The last few games?
It's like the last 10. I'm saying the last 10. You look at his stats, the last 10 games? It's incredible.
Let's look at his stats yesterday. Yesterday, he was 6-6.
Off one night?
All right, bro.
I'm not talking the last game. Once again, we talk about inconsistencies, right?
I gave you a period of time. How is that inconsistent? If I said 10 games.
Let me see what else he did. He got 2 rebounds and 3 assists. Once again,
his last 3 games, he has 16, 11, and 42.
Yeah, just points. You're talking points, right? What about anything else?
We're talking about
rookie of the year. You want him to have MVP numbers.
I want him to have Melo numbers at least.
But Melo ain't playing anymore.
And he plays a different position. Like, that's unfair. Matter. That's
you
like
need to do something. He can't get no assists. He can't get no rebounds. Same thing with Quickly. Quickly tonight, Nick, because that's your guy. Quickly tonight had 14 points, no rebounds, and no assists.
Okay.
Come on, man.
All right. Listen.
Come on, man.
Listen.
Okay. What's
you know
LaMelo?
You know better than that, Sheldon. You're a better basketball fan than that.
I'm asking this one question, Sheldon. Has LaMelo dropped 42 this season?
Yeah, he did that March 18th.
Has he dropped 42?
Anthony Edwards did that March.
He hasn't, but he's contributed to more wins than either one of them.
What LaMelo scored the last game?
What was LaMelo's last game?
How many points he scored last game the Hornets played?
He broke his wrist the last game. He was out. But he even if he was zero, out,
right? Because he wasn't there, court, was he? He scored 0 points.
If that man showed up, was on the court, and played he the rest of the one arm, he still had better stats than the people that y'all mentioned.
He hurt.
Halliburton is the only guy that should even be mentioned in this category. And he ain't mellow. So that's what I'm saying.
And that's what it all comes down to. Shelton just sees thing, and that's LaMelo. No. Let me take that back.
What I see is the complete sees
Hornets. He sees Charlotte Hornets. Then he sees Melo, and that's it.
If you take any of those other rookies,
you take Halliburton and put him on that team. You take Anthony Edwards, put him on that team. Oh, Shelton got the jersey. Mm-hmm. He got the hat. He got the socks.
Yeah, get you somebody that love Melo like Shelton love Melo.
I was talking about Melo before he got there. If you take, once again, if we take points out of the equation for each of these players, let's look at assists and rebounds. I mean, you got Wiseman.
You're only doing that because you're losing in the points.
This is about totality, bro. Let's look at the points a game for any of these players. Quickly, let's see what his points per game average is. 12.7. He's still under Melo.
He's a rookie.
And so is LaMelo. What are you talking about?
LaMelo shouldn't factor in the conversation anymore. He's not playing anymore.
And the biggest problem you're going to have is the cast on Melo's arm.
The cast on Melo's arm averages more rebounds than quickly.
He played half a season.
Playing, Shelton.
He played half
it don't
a season.
Matter.
So the he's going to get 0-0 and zero. He's
Patrick
second in
played half a season.
Okay.
It's over.
Patrick Ewing played half a season. He got the award.
Listen, right now, if the season ended today, I would not be against LaMelo Ball getting Rookie of the Year.
Me either.
No,
but the season does not end today. It ends in May, so you still have.
Season ended for Melo the other
right?
And so did his rookie campaign.
Yeah.
Anthony Edwards most likely gonna get that.
Yeah.
See, no, I don't know.
He don't deserve it. Halliburton does over Anthony Edwards.
I think Anthony Edwards. I think what's gonna hurt him probably are the wins.
Not really, because Patrick Ewing got it. They was like a 20 win team.
Okay. And how many games does Patrick Ewing play that year?
Yeah, like 45, right?
He played 50. He played 50 games out of.
So that's way more than two.
Out of
that's way more than Melo.
Way more than Melo.
Yep. How many Melo played?
41.
You also have to look at who was in the running that year that Patrick Ewing won Rookie of the Year.
That's what I wanted to ask.
Because that's it. A lot of times it's also predicated on who's your direct competition, right?
Correct.
You know, if Patrick Ewing's out here dropping 21 a game, and you know,
I mean,
I don't know.
we knew Patrick Ewing was going to be that deal,
right?
Once he when he left, you know, when he came out of Georgetown,
mm-hmm. right?
Well, who was he running up against? It was the
85 draft, so it'd have been the 85-86 season.
Yeah.
So Wayman Tisdale, Chris Mullin, Detlef Schrempf, Charles Oakley, Karl Malone, Joe Dumars, AC Green, my guy.
They was all up for Rookie of the Year, or was you just naming the rookies?
These are the rookies that year.
Yeah, I'm going to say who was the finalist for Rookie?
Yeah, that's what I would name. Or who's the top 10 scorers and rookies? That doesn't tell you anything, obviously.
Melo,
watch him play. Boy, get you somebody that love Melo, like Shelton love LaMelo. Boy,
it's the horn
at the awards voting.
You passed that.
Nah, but just to keep the conversation flowing, man. I mean, honestly, right now, that's probably even more wide open than the MVP talk right now, the Rookie of the Year. I mean, because again, it's going to come down to who finishes best. I mean, Anthony Edwards right now has a leg up, but I mean, Halliburton can take off and start playing well. He's got Quickly in New York, and then they're going to be in the playoff chase, so he's going to be playing some meaningful games down the stretch. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it could be anybody, really, at this point. And it still might be, to Shelton's pleasure, it still might be LaMelo. I mean, LaMelo might have just cast himself so far ahead of the field that he still ends up winning the Rookie of the Year by default.
So the list for the Rookie of the Year for Patrick Ewing's rookie year was Pat Ewing, Xavier McDaniel, Karl Malone, Spud Webb, Monte Bol, Charles Oakley, and Benjamin. I might be
Benoit Benjamin, the center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Benoit Benjamin. For
that's a good. That's a good group there.
Very good players in that list. Yeah. I would have to see what their points per game were and all that. You got to look at the stats and stuff. Like,
they were some good pros, but I don't know how they fared their rookie year.
Nah, they got the stats too. Pat was averaging 20 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks.
That's good for that's man. That's a good rookie year.
Yes.
Karl Malone had about 15 points, about 9 rebounds, about 3 assists, and 1 steal. And then
another good rookie number.
McDaniel, he was averaging 17 points, 8 rebounds.
Oh, so it's actually closer than than a lot of times with the rookie of the year too, it's a popularity thing, it's a momentum thing, it's just the rookie who he's gotten the most buzz. So I mean, like Shelton, you could get your wish. It might still be Melo, you know what I mean? Or LaMelo. I don't want to call him Melo. There's only one Melo.
Thank you for that.
You know, it could still only be LaMelo.
I think it'd be running for MVP. Did y'all talk about that already?
Yeah, who you got with everybody out?
Probably I would say it'd be a three-way tie between, depending on, you know, how they finish, Joker, Dame, and James Harden. I would say them three.
Who would you pick out of those three?
Dame, you know, I gotta go with Dame. You know, Dame, that's my dude, man. Dame, yeah, Dame. Little, and I don't think he's never won one.
He's never won an MVP.
Yeah, oh yeah, Dame.
He finished third that one year.
Yeah, Dame, that's my dude, man. Y'all know Dame, my guy. Yeah, I'm going with Dame.
You think any chance Giannis gets back into the mix if they have a good? Because that's my point, was it's wide open right now. So if Giannis, let's say, you know, balls out the next 2 months, and then the Bucks get into that. Well, I mean, they're already a 3 seed, but if they get into even the top two, then
yeah, you know, I can see.
You know, the media loves Giannis.
Yeah, I'm about to say, I can see the media throwing him in there. I can see the media putting Giannis in there in the conversation, depending on how the book, like you said, how good the Bucks.
He would be my dark horse, just because I don't see them giving it to James Harden with the whole Houston thing. And
that's crazy to me. I mean, if he balling.
Yeah, but you know, narrative also plays a role.
It shouldn't matter. Like, to me, if you balling, you balling, dude. Like, if you out here doing it, then you out here doing it, my guy.
I don't think it will, but I mean, I get where we feel it should. The only reason I don't think it is because I've been hearing a lot of MVP talk for him already, and hearing the narrative, it doesn't sound like it's the media that's bringing it up. So in saying that, I don't think they're going to hold that against him. I really don't. I think that's already forgotten.
I hope so. I hope you're right. Because, yeah, I hope they don't. Oh, well, look how he treated you. What? Like, man, a dude is balling. Why did that matter?
He's playing some outstanding basketball right now.
Yeah.
I think I agree with you, though. I think Dame deserves it because he had to do more with less.
Yep. Because he didn't have CJ. He didn't even have CJ this year. I mean, CJ's still out. Like,
yeah,
his right hand man has been gone pretty damn near like 75% of the season so far, and he's still like, they still out there balling, man. So,
and he's doing it and not only that, he's hitting every big shot. Every time it's Dame time, you know what time it is.
It's
not a question.
Yeah,
it's not a question.
Dame is averaging 30 points, 8 assists, 4 rebounds.
And I forgot what game it was.
That's what I'm saying, bro. His numbers is insane.
They are. And I saw him struggle in one game. I can't remember what game it was. But he struggled and still came down the stretch to hit, to win the game.
You're going
to
have struggle games.
He's still making a difference. He's still winning the game.
And out of 72 games and the way this schedule is compiled, you're going to have struggle games.
And like I said, even though he struggled that game, he still ended up winning the game. Yeah. So in saying that, I was like, man, that's that dude. He deserved it.
I think one of y'all mentioned earlier about the Houston Rockets. Steven Silas, man, he's having an interesting head coaching job with Houston right now.
That's a good word for it.
After losing 20 games, do y'all see him coaching again next season?
Yeah, I think they'll bring him back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, the team likes him. The team supports him.
That's why. Oh, go ahead, Ken.
Nah, go ahead.
That's exactly the reason I was going to say that, is he's gotten a lot of support from his team. And that's huge, man. It's huge when people step up for you. And once again, he was in a no-win situation. He was placed in a situation similar to the the coach with the Texans. I can't remember his name. Same thing. He's placed in a position where there's no way for you to succeed early. There's no way. So as long as you get this team playing hard, and when I watch Houston, they look like they're playing hard. They haven't quit on him. So in saying that, I think he will get a shot. He will get another shot.
I mean, who are you going to bring in? Like, if you fire him, like, a lot of times, too, with firing coaches, is like, who's the replacement? Like, I mean, at this with this roster, like, who are you – who's actually a better candidate than – I mean, as long, you, Houston's rebuilding. They're playing for another day. So keep this young coach there. Hopefully he develops as a coach. And then when you are ready to compete, then go for it from there. But, I mean, it is the NBA, so – they fire coaches basically for breathing. So it wouldn't surprise me if they let him go. Especially he black. So
yeah.
Well, yeah, but he, you know, he lost Harden, he lost Wood.
So PJ Tucker.
Yeah. They traded PJ Tucker. So hopefully there was a conversation that took place. Because we haven't had a chance to really see him, you know, really coach with, you know, elite talent. It was his first year. So I think, you know, if I'm Houston, do I really want those headlines firing this guy when he was in a pretty precarious situation?
And he's well respected. He's well regarded. Like, a lot of coaches think highly of him. I mean, obviously, it doesn't mean much, but it should, I think.
That's why the players coming out support means something. Once again, that brings attention to something. And if you get rid of him, you look like the bad guy. And these people don't want to look crazy. So these players stepping out in his defense already, that's setting it up like, if y'all let him go, we're not going to be happy. Yeah, you kind of – they put the owners and, you know, ownership and leadership in a position where you got to kind of think twice before making a move. So shout out to them for doing that for him. If he's doing a job like that and you're speaking out in his favor –
but that's sometimes cool. That annoys me too, because then it's like, yeah, you love him so much, but play better. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I hate players do that. Like, oh yeah, we love him. We love him. Yeah, you've lost 30 in a row. Like, y'all couldn't figure out a way to win one game? Like one?
I'm about
like
to say, two? Yeah. If this is how you show your love, and I hate to say how you treat
me. It's like, oh, we love Manny so much, but we've lost 40 in a row. Like,
yeah, because right. Christian Wood was like, man, I came here because of him. I'm like, did you? They're like, well, what? Like,
yeah.
And
it's players just being politically correct. I mean, I get it. And that's good to see, obviously. But I don't know. It's just one of those things that always annoys me. Like, oh, yeah, we love this coach. He's great. Like, even the Sixers said good things about Brett Brown as they threw him under the bus and threw him out the door. Like, oh, Brett was the best coach ever. He was this and that. Da, da, da. I'm like, yeah, y'all probably should have, like, fought to keep him and played better in big spots, but hey, what do I know?
Moving on, as far as back to the Eastern Conference, the Boston Celtics are currently sitting at the end in the East behind the Knicks. Mm. How are y'all viewing their season this year?
Disappointment. No, just no other way to put it. Disappointment. Kemba Walker stealing money. Like, there needs to be a federal investigation. He is literally, I mean, we got to keep it real, right? We've done it in sports. I mean, he's stealing money, bro. Yeah. Like, let's be real. And all this talk we heard while he was in Charlotte, oh, he just needs a shot. He just needs a chance to be on a good team. And you'll see the Kemba, cardiac Kemba from UConn. You'll see it. I'm still waiting. I'm still literally waiting. Oh, no,
what about the rest of the stars?
Nah, it's diabetes, Kemba.
It's not. I know where BZ's going. It's not all Kemba's fault. Yeah. It's not all Kemba's fault. I don't want to just make this a beat down of Kemba. It's not. But hey, when you making $35 million a year,
you got the ref.
They got the red box, Kemba.
Oh no, y'all ain't gonna do Kemba like that. That's my guy. Hey, Manny, why you always coming on here calling out?
I'm stupid, man.
Hey man, thank you, Kemba. Thank you.
No, it's not all Kemba's fault. I mean, they've had some injuries. Brad Stevens, hey, I've been a defender of Brad Stevens forever. And I look like an idiot because Brad Stevens has not done a great coaching job. Like, he's not. He's not earning his money. He's not living up to his reputation.
Cam been questioning Brad Stevens for the last, season, 3-4 years, Cam?
This season, Brad Stevens is not living up to his reputation. He has not done a good job with that team. That team shoots, even with Marcus Smart, who I think is the most important player on that roster, on that team, He's been out. Even without Marcus Smart, that team should not be basically eighth, ninth in the Eastern Conference. In that Eastern Conference?
Yeah. So does it prove that Tatum and Jaylen Brown is not that duo that we expect them to be? Because it's not like they both been like injured and they both been playing together here and there. They both been pretty much there this whole time. And it's like, why they haven't elevated to kind of least.
They're not superstars.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, but people were kind of starting to put them in that, superstar.
You know what
phrase.
They are, BZ? You know what they are, B? Like what? They're Paul George, essentially.
Oh shit!
They got super. I'm not saying characteristics.
I know what you mean.
They have superstar talent, but they don't always play that way, or they don't always elevate. Like people always say, like, "Oh, this guy's a superstar because he averages 25 points a game." But no, it's how you carry yourself. It's how you make people better. Like the way you perform in these games, like that.
But Paul Pierce, when the lights got bright, Paul Pierce didn't shy away though. Let's not forget Paul Pierce is one of the most clutch guys.
That's why I hate the disrespect that Paul Pierce now gets on Twitter. Like NBA Twitter acts like Paul Pierce was a scrub. This dude was the truth.
If it was the last second shot, you want Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce would take that thing confidently and be like, I'm about to end you right now.
Like Paul Pierce was that dude.
He'd do that slow ass hesitation, to pull up, and that should be bottom every time.
I just think, look, and they're young too. So I think you got to be a little cautious about saying they're not this and that. They are still young. I mean, it's crazy to think that Jason Tatum's what, still 22?
I know, but how long has he been in the league?
You've been in the league for a while. Look, I'm with you, Ken. It's time for them to take that next step. It's time for them. They should not be where they're at right now with those two guys playing.
They shouldn't be an eighth seed. I agree with everyone saying that. Yeah, however, this is like their weakest season they've been together as far as Tatum Brown and Brad Stevens, right? Or including Marcus Smart in that as well. Because they were in back-to-back Eastern Conference Finals or at least two out of the 3 years. And there's been a lot of roster moves with this team over those last 3-4 years.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you think the GMs haven't really made the best moves?
Yeah, that's kind of like where I'm at with it. Like, if you look at the pieces around them, they really weren't built to have a Marcus Smart injury for that extended period of time. And I know that Kemba was supposed to be the Kyrie light, but I just didn't see him break down like this. Like Kemba is just. Sheldon, I don't know what the hell y'all did in Charlotte. Man, took the soul out of this nigga.
We got out at the right time. And the thing about it was, you know, first off, Kim was undersized. And his game is relying on his quickness and shot-making ability. And when the injury started coming on, we got out just in time. And he was just he's just an undersized player at this point that's breaking down. And he played a lot of college games, man. You can't forget that. And he, you know, played a lot of pro games too, but he's a shell of himself. We got another super chat real quick too. Kyle O, we appreciate you, Kyle O. He said Danny Ainge deserves some of the blame too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
he's front office.
He picked up Kemba to make up for the loss of Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. Walk for nothing.
But Kemba was, I mean, with the way Brad Stevens was coaching and with the issues that Kyrie was causing, Kemba really was supposed to fit right in with that system because people were looking at Brad Stevens as a pop-like coach and that he could just kind of make things work with damn near anybody. That's how they talked about him. Like he had won a championship. They were literally putting this man on pop's level.
Yeah.
Brad
Stevens is still a good coach, but he hasn't done a good job this year. You can't even sugarcoat it. He has not done a great job this year. And look, to Danny Ainge's defense, I guess, I don't think anybody could have expected this fall off from Kemba. No one could have seen that coming, right? Like, everybody was praising that move. Like, I thought it was a good move.
I can't say that, man. And the only reason I can't say that is because I was screaming for Charlotte to get rid of him at the time that they did. I was happy with the move for Rozier. You got younger. And I knew that team wasn't going anywhere. And like I said, he just didn't look. Something about him didn't look right. You didn't think he'd fall off like he did now. I mean, he still averages 17 points a game. And he's been out for a while. But he was injured a little bit in Charlotte. You could start seeing the the ball kind of rolling. So when they got out, I was excited at the time. I was happy that that got out from under. I thought it was too much.
I bet you're saying that now because you got LaMelo.
And the general
Rozier.
But the general consensus around, you know, the NBA was that it was a good pickup for Boston to fit in with Kyrie, because he was just supposed to be a plug and play kind of guy for Brad Stevens.
He was supposed to be the calmer Kyrie, yes. Right?
Yep.
Kyrie without the PTOs. But
it had worked out.
Forget PTOs. This nigga on sick leave constantly.
Yeah, this team is just. I mean, for all those picks that they had, and all that equity that Danny Ainge had built up, they really don't have much to show for it.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I feel like they could have rented out AD at the time when AD was like, but they didn't want to pull that trigger because they didn't want to give up.
They've hoarded those draft picks for
And it was just like, now you're in this position. And you have to look back at those moves. Like, damn.
They only hit on what? I mean, yeah, hitting on two draft picks is good.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown and Tatum was their two picks.
Yeah.
So they did. They draft well. At least I can say that, because you got Marcus Smart. You still got most of the people that they actually drafted on the squad.
Yeah. They draft and develop well, yeah.
But as far as, like, that over-the-top talent, I mean, if AD goes to Boston for a year or whatever as a rental, does he stay? Does he re-sign?
Probably
you don't
not,
ever know,
but at least
they get to the they may get to the finals with AD.
Yep. Sometimes you just got to make that move, man. And the Celtics have just not made that move. Sometimes you got to be that. You got to make that move, like Masai made. You know, he's like, hey, 1 year of Kawhi can make me as a GM.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm gonna go all in with this dude for 1 year, and if we win and I get to at least have a conversation with him at the end, just try to stay. If he doesn't, then at least I know I got my championship.
And with him, I would think with that move and winning that title, he shouldn't be getting pulled over no more in Toronto, right? Should be gone free. He should no more cops. He like, look,
like B said, he ain't got the complexion for the protection.
Yeah, he's skating by with that one.
It don't matter how many championships you won.
The Raptors are falling off, but you know, but he's nobody got that, saying anything.
No one saying that because they got that title.
Mm-hmm. They got that title. Plus, it was time to rebuild that team. They weren't gonna keep that.
I mean, people should be talking because you know he didn't want to give up Siakam for well, who was it?
Man, I called that one.
Who was it? It was
Siakam.
Paul George, was it?
Probably. I think it was Paul George.
Paul George, right? Yeah.
Yeah, because Kawhi, I think he was like, I want that guy or something like that.
I would have made that, even though I'm not the biggest Paul George fan, I would have made that trade in a heartbeat. Siakam, I never bought into the Siakam hype. I just didn't.
That's what they call him.
Last question I got for y'all today is, there's a lot of trade rumors going on as far as Lonzo Ball.
Gordon. Yeah, you ain't gonna bring up Aaron Gordon too. Aaron Gordon officially requesting a trade from Orlando.
Oh, I didn't see that.
He requested a trade. He just spoke to the media. He said, just my frustration kind of boiling over. A lot of people share that sentiment. That's what he just said.
Damn, so he's saying the whole squad about to ask for a trade.
Damn, for real. You think more players more than Aaron Gordon gonna ask for a trade?
I don't know. I mean, he made it sound like everybody's frustrated. I don't know that means, you know.
Yeah, because Orlando just seemed like they're a team right now that's just like.
They just don't know what they're
like stuck at that. Yeah, they stuck at that 6-8. Like they're right there in that 6-9. Like if you want to, they always branch between the sixth best team in the East to like the ninth best team in the East. And they're like stuck right there with when they can.
They're in no man. They're in NBA territory. Yeah. They're in no man land.
That's the worst place
you could be.
Yep.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough there because you can't really sign any top free agents, and
you can't build a draft you're already in the play. You when you're in the playoffs, you out of the lottery.
That's where the Hawks were for a long time.
Yeah.
Joe Johnson years. Hey, we got a super chat really quick from Dragon Knight. It's a big one. I appreciate you for that, man. Dragon Knight 49, and this goes back to the last discussion we just had. How much better do we expect Tatum to get in random? But what's y'all's favorite snack to eat while watching sports?
Flamin' Hot Barbecue Fritos.
Oh wow,
Flamin' Hot Barbecue Fritos.
They're delicious as fuck.
Where did you find that? at the hood, that must be a Georgia thing. The hood gas station? No. I
ain't seen any joints.
I'm about to say I gotta go to the hood gas station. Another down the street.
The hood gas station, bro.
Quick Trip?
No, not Quick Trip.
No, don't go to Quick Trip. Go to like Exxon's,
Food Depot,
and stuff. Oh yeah, Food Depot sell them too. Food Depot got them too. Yep.
All right, I'm definitely going there.
If you look at something, like, Food Depot got it.
Mine is Little Debbie Swiss rolls with some chocolate milk.
Oh, he got a little bedtime snack.
that's my sports.
But you got a long nightgown with that too? Well, you got
your favorite blanket with it.
Yeah.
I don't got.
Don't say warm
snack,
milk
man.
Either. You put that in the microwave.
No, not the warm milk. It ain't warm.
That's why you got that thermos to keep it hot.
I don't got a favorite snack. It just kind of depends on what's at the moment right there. You know what I mean? So I don't really got a favorite snack for sports.
If I'm repping my hometown, I'm gonna say some Grippos. I gave some to y'all and y'all ain't fuck with it because of how it looked.
I ate them all.
Hey, these Grippos, it's basically like it's like a sweet barbecue potato chip.
Mm.
Yes, yeah, it's only in Cincinnati, I believe. I think it's maybe somewhere in the Midwest elsewhere, but mostly Cincinnati.
I'll go with Ruffle Lay's. Wait, hold on. Lay's potato chips, crinkled, and jalapeno Frito-Lay dip. That shit is delicious.
Are you a chips and dip type of snack? Yeah. Hey, I don't blame you on that.
If I had to give a snack, I would say the barbecue flavored pork rinds or whatever, or pork skins or whatever.
Pork rinds. Oh, boy.
Mm, yeah, okay. I like the hot sauce flavored pork rinds, but I don't eat it often. That's a good question.
Yeah, no, that was a good question.
What was the first one?
How
better can Jason Tatum get?
Play up to his talent level. Like, we all think he's great. Like, we all think we see it. The talent is there. We see it. He just needs to take that next step where superstar, like true superstars, go where it's like, yo, we're better than this. I'm gonna take the last shot. I'm gonna be the guy that gets us into the playoffs and carry. Like, you need to put the team on your back. And a lot of times with Jason Tatum, it's like he'll do it for a game or two, but it's not consistent every single night. Like, again, I say it, like, that team with that talent with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown should not be battling for an AFC. It's just not. They, at the very least, even with Marcus Smart, even with Kemba, even with all the problems we highlighted, they should at the very least be a top four seed. In the Eastern Conference?
I think he could get a little bit better. I think for him, I think kind of speaking of what Manny's saying, mentality. Because, you know, he got the talent. He got the skill set. He damn near got every shot that he needs. It's mentality. Like, is he going to break out of Brad Stevens' system and be like, yo, like, I'm going to just go get this? Right now, he's still, you know, respecting the coach and playing within the confines of the system, which is great. But at some point, you got to be like, yo, man, forget everybody else. Forget Jaylen Brown. Let give me the ball, and I'm going to go get it done. Because there was a couple of games where I saw where he cooked. It was the Hornets. They have – no. Who has Jason Hart? Who has Jason Hart?
Pelicans.
It was the Pelicans. He cooked them like two or three times in a row for a go-ahead or game-tying basket.
Yeah, that don't surprise me.
Yeah, so he got it. It's just, you know, they got to unleash him.
I think as a young talent, he has probably the best overall offensive skill set in the NBA as far as like his age range.
Yeah.
Cause he can post up, he can shoot threes, he got mid range, he's got a good handle, he knows how to get off
the ball. He came into the league knowing how to score.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm saying, but it's more polished now.
Mm-hmm.
Especially his time in Boston. But like y'all said, like I think once he, even though Jaylen Brown is his homeboy, you could tell like he has that team mentality.
Mm-hmm.
He need to come to Brad Stevens and look at him like, look, what could Brown do for me? Give me the ball. You know what I'm saying? Like, I need to dominate and I need to do everything I need to do to win us this game. And I'm hoping that because he spent some time with Kobe, I think, one of those summers. And he talks about how influential that was. If he continues on that mama mentality, I think he could probably be the best. I don't know. What do y'all consider? Is he a forward or a two?
He's a three. He's a forward. He's a small forward, man.
He's a small forward.
Really, that's his natural.
He could be top three out of his position.
He's a three. And that's the other part about it, too. I don't like that they play him at the four. Like, I think he should be more on the three side of things.
Me, too. I do.
He's a matchup problem, especially on the wing against some of the other smaller four, smaller threes. Yeah, I don't like him at the four. I think that's part of his issue, too.
I hate to admit it, but earlier on, we talked about him and Jason Tatum. I mean, him and Jaylen Brown, and I was wrong. I said that I thought that they would work together. I honestly think they need to be separated at this point. And he needs to play his natural position. And it would be better for him if Jaylen Brown was somewhere else. I think Jaylen Brown's ascension has kind of is eaten into what he does best. So in saying that, we can't see the best.
I disagree because I'm bringing up
Jaylen's a two.
Jaylen is a combo. He's a combo 2-3, but he's eating into what Tatum does. They're doing the same things.
I'm a disagree because FIFA always said, and that's the one thing I like. One of the quotes I like from him is that if someone else has to leave for you to shine, that says a lot about you. To me, Jason Tatum, he can. Jaylen Brown don't take none of the baskets away from Jason Tatum.
No.
Jaylen Brown does. There's only them two outside of consistent scores. So who else is eating?
Yes, he does. Jason Tatum. I mean, Jaylen Brown is a three. They both play the same position. They do the same things. You bring in a shooter.
I disagree with that.
And it opens up the floor for him to do more of what he does best, which is get to the basket, create, and do other things. He can shoot too, but Jaylen Brown is doing what he does. You bring in a space eater, a shooter. Let me think of somebody. I can't think of nobody, but he needs to be playing with somebody else. This combination is not working.
I would agree with you if their games were that much similar, but I don't think their games are similar like that. Like, I don't think they have the same skill set. Like, I think Jaylen Brown has a specific skill set that's his, and Jason Tatum. Like, I look at Jason. I look at his damn name is escaping me. Jaylen Brown. Too many damn Jasons and Jaylens. Jaylen Brown. Like, I look at him as a slashing two. Like that, he's a slasher. He's a cutter. He can get his shot. He can create a little bit. He has a little bit more of a diverse offensive skill set. Jason Tatum is just that prototypical. You throw the ball in, ISO. Give me the rock. I'm a score on all three levels. I don't think Brown takes away from Tatum in that regard. I don't.
If it worked so good, why aren't they winning then?
I mean,
this is a down year. I think this is a down year for him.
No, I think it's a combination of a lot of things, man. I mean, it could be a down year. It could be the system. It could be like Brad Stevens, the system. It could be just them not being at that level yet. Again, we forget these dudes are what, 22, 23? And I know they've been in the league for a while, but sometimes it takes age, man. It takes maturity. It takes that next level where you just, that light to come on. Sometimes it doesn't always come on right at a young age. Sometimes it takes time. You know, for every LeBron, even took Kobe a couple years to kind of figure it out. To where he finally got to that point. Maybe not this late, but it took him a while too. So I don't know, man. I don't know. That's a great question. I'm not watching them every game, every day. So I'm not there analyzing like what's happening. I do think it's a position issue with Tatum though. I don't think he's a four. And I think he kind of gets caught in that. Am I a prototypical four where I'm rebounding, I'm in the post, I'm a spot up shooter, I'm a stretch four? Like, no, they need to put him at the three and be like, yo, you're a scorer, get buckets. That's what you do.
Right. And once again, him getting buckets and doing what he does, I think he would benefit more from a shooter than he would from a slasher.
Who knows?
What I was mentioning earlier was that the Clippers have, I think, opened up a roster spot. And this is right around the time where Lonzo's name has been floating around with them. If they get him, will that help them make a deep playoff run?
What player did they give up, Lou?
They gave some random ass nigga.
Yes.
that's what Clippers need them a true pass first point guard. So
some random ass.
And a point guard that plays defense too. And Lonzo is a good on ball defender, and he's a pass first point guard. So I think that's what Clippers need. I think they need that. And
then, he'd be perfect, yeah.
Yeah, perfect for them. As a Laker fan, I do not want to see that happen. I do not want to see.
See, because this is the chance, man. I want to see what the Clippers made of, because this is the chance for them to jump ship and kind of move up in the West. Because now you got, we assuming the Lakers are going to kind of drop maybe just a little bit in the spot. So if the Clippers can't grab that division and go forward with it, I don't know.
B, you missed it. Shelton has the Lakers basically playing the damn the Kings for the playing game spot.
Shelton got the Lakers playing.
Let's think about this here now. So what we always say whenever we say, oh, if you take Bron off that team, they ain't nothing but a G League team. The fact that you got Bron and AD not playing, I wouldn't be surprised if that happens, Manny. I would not be surprised if that happened because we say this every year about LeBron James team. You take LeBron off, he's pretty much carrying G Leaguers to the finals and all that stuff. Well, how you think these G Leaguers gonna play with these tough competition? And then you got to think about it like this. This has been going on in sports forever. When you the champ, teams are going to come at you 10 times harder than they play at you these other squads. So, yeah. I mean, that's not crazy for Shelton saying that. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. If we look come, you know, early May and they playing, they wanted the 8, 9 or 10 seed teams playing for that final playoff spot. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying if it does happen, I ain't going to be sitting there like, oh my God, I can't believe that. Like, I wouldn't be shocked.
If LeBron don't come back, it's going to happen. Right. Now LeBron comes back, it's different.
Right. It's different. If he comes back within 3 weeks, he's gonna definitely.
I'll take that away. But I'm saying if LeBron nor AD come back, the team will be in that 7-10 playoff area.
Yeah, that's gonna really be interesting.
We shall see.
Hey, back to the Lonzo going to the biggest part of Lonzo going to the Clippers for me would be that the pressure would be off even more so. And I think that would be huge for him to go somewhere where you got, you know, everybody's looking at Kawhi. They're looking at Paul George. He can kind of be hidden there, yet still be able to flourish and shine. That's why I think that's the best spot for him, period, anywhere. He can go there and be fine.
Yeah, I just think it's interesting that they want to get rid of Lonzo.
It signals
to me that they're really about to hand the keys over to Zion and have him, you know, just
run. But do you have to get rid of Lonzo to do that?
I think they give him the keys now. I don't think
Lonzo. Yeah, but Lonzo's not impediment. It's not an impediment in that, though. I don't understand that. If anything, you want to keep Lonzo with Zion.
Yeah, that makes sense to us. But whatever Stan Van Gundy's selling, you know, that ain't it.
I think this is the same guy that made that Blake Griffin trade in Detroit.
Right.
So
right.
Stan Van Gundy's a horrible GM.
Yeah, because I think Stan was a part of the Chris Middleton and he let him go and look.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
So,
damn, B.
I know. We got so many.
Stan is a coach.
Spencer Dinwiddie.
Yeah.
Yeah, him. For the Nets. Yeah. That was a part of Stan Van Gundy.
Stan was just giving away talent.
Yeah, look what he ended up doing. Yeah, it's crazy, man.
Yeah, well, Griffin is the GM in New Orleans, so I would think he got more power than Stan.
Hey, Detroit. Yeah. Hey, B. Detroit is like that girl and keep making these dudes better men for other women.
That's pretty much.
Detroit is that hat you got on. The Expos. The Expos in the 80s was just giving their players away to the Yankees and all the other teams.
Man. Jesus Christ.
Like a Yankee farm team.
I don't understand.
Drafted Lonzo. Luke over Donovan Mitchell. I'm mad. That's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It only hurts.
Before we get out of here, man, shout out to Greg Popovich, man. He's going under the radar with what he's doing with that team, but
yeah, he is. Winning. He really is.
Yeah, bro. Yeah,
I'm surprised he's still.
And they low key got talent too, though. It's not like he's doing it with a bunch of scrubs. He got some players on that team.
He got some folks, man. Yeah, I was just watching part of the game when they played against Charlotte the other night. So,
yeah, you know that team's going to play hard every night. That's the one thing about a Greg Popovich team. They're going to be prepared. They're going to play hard every night, and then the results going to be the results. So, yeah, shout out to him.
Yep. Shout out to Draymond Green, too, for being the best defender in league history.
Oh, we didn't get into that. I thought we was going to get into that.
Ain't no reason to get into that. We all said the same shit in the game.
I think before he retire, I think he's going to be considered one of the greatest defenders to play in the league.
I won't go that far.
I wouldn't either, Nick. Just like you pointed out earlier, one of y'all pointed one out of? earlier, No. Who was he known for shutting down? Like, who did he shut down?
Shout out to Tony Allen.
He didn't shut down anybody in particular, but I think he helped. He gave the Warriors that missing ingredient as far as that dog, that he was a glue guy. And
he's a glue guy.
And he made some defensive impacts on that team, man. Like, you can't shut down anybody per se.
Right.
Like,
he made some plays, but he's not a lockdown defender. He's not that guy that teams or players fear when they go to play them. He's not that guy. He's not mentioned in that elite group of defenders.
I've seen him shut down Harden, but that was probably more James Harden shutting down James Harden. Mm-hmm. That's just, yeah.
Shout out to the brother Juwan Howard, man, head coach in U of M basketball.
Yes.
Good job.
Oh, we ain't
no
one's even talking about college basketball.
I just wanted to shout him out, man. You know, he's former, everybody know Juwan. Well, a lot of people should know who Juwan Howard is, part of the Fab Five, in Michigan 92-93. And now he's the head coach for Michigan. And
Are y'all shocked he didn't get an NBA job?
Am I shocked?
Juwan Howard?
Yeah,
because he was with the Miami organization for a minute.
For a while.
Yeah, he was with the Heat for a while.
I'm surprised he got a job somewhere.
Not yet.
Same thing with Pat Ewing.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Patrick Ewing, man. Come on.
Yeah.
I know Georgetown got flamed in their first game, but
to play the way they did in that tournament for him was big.
Shout out to Patrick Ewing, man. For real.
Yeah. Hey, man, this, I don't know about y'all, man, but my brackets was destroyed.
Shout out to Roy Williams, too.
Yeah, shout out to Roy Williams for making it. Coach K did not.
I didn't even want to entertain that.
Yeah, we let
Duke, my Spartans we got Duke popped in the playing game.
But yeah, this has been an interesting tournament to say the least. And B, I think you said it best about the NCAA tournament. By it being a COVID year, these freshmen on these big teams were not allowed to prepare quite like other teams. And then you got other, you know, these lower seeds have seniors, you know, they're filled with juniors and seniors that have been playing together forever. Mm-hmm. So now more so than ever with these upset this tournament.
Yeah. Yeah.
And these lower seeds ain't no joke. And these ain't been no fluke wins where you just barely scrape by. No, they're dominant
wins. Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, damn.
Watch Loyola, man. They're about to do it again.
You think they're gonna make a run? Yeah,
I mean, I thought I had Illinois winning it all. Like
I did too, man.
I didn't trust them. There's something about
I loved Illinois coming into the tournament.
And I love the inside outside game. And that I can't think of the guard's name, the number 11.
Ayo Dosunmu.
He's so nice.
Yeah, he nice.
Oh my goodness.
Y'all saying all this. Wake me up when it's the Elite Eight. Y'all can get through.
It's going to be.
I will say this late this weekend.
I will say this though.
If Gonzaga does not win a national championship this year, then when? Because they are clearly the best team left in the tournament.
I want to see them go undefeated because I've never witnessed a team go undefeated an entire season.
Mark Few ain't got no more excuses to win a national championship this year.
This is the year, but them other team, man, them some of them teams like USC, watching them play Kansas.
SC is nice, yo. Mobley is nice. Yeah, Mobley is nice.
Both of them,
yeah. But
that's a huge team too. And don't count out my sleeper team is Florida State. Florida State.
They playing Michigan. They playing Michigan this weekend.
Yeah, they are.
It's gonna be a good game.
Off at the right time,
that's gonna be a good game, man. That's gonna be
the thing that worries me about Michigan is they're missing Isaiah Livers, man.
They are
big loss.
They are. They missing him big time. But Juwan Howard is still doing it, man.
Look at these two old men over there shaking their head, man. Look, college basketball is the shit, man. Come on now. We were just talking about this on the show the other day. We wish the NBA had this in their sport, like.
Right.
Like, this is the problem with the NBA, man. It's like, if the Lakers are healthy, you could just pencil in the Lakers and the Nets in the finals. Like, you can't do this in the NBA. Like,
if you go back to the single game elimination, though, that's why. Single game elimination.
Or even go back to the what was it? The three out of five?
Yeah.
In the first round?
Yeah, that's
it. If they go back to that. Then we'll get something more exciting. But if you're doing the best of seven, then shit. Yeah, right.
Yeah, because them 3 out of 5 series, man, that put a lot of pressure on them one seed. Yeah. The one seed.
That's what.
You don't want to lose that first game. You do not want to lose that first game.
They took that away because of the money.
Yeah, of course. You know, it's all about money.
Yeah, it's all about money.
Yeah, TV.
I like the women's way to 2 out of 3. Ugh, you ain't got but 2-3 shots at this. Let's get. Mm-hmm. I like 2 out of 3. To be honest with you.
Yeah. And that'll move the playoffs up, too. That'll move the playoffs up, too. There's no reason why the first round should take 2.5 weeks.
Mm-hmm. I agree. But college basketball this year, though, guys, for real, man, if you ain't been watching, it's been truly exciting. And this has been one of the most fun tournaments for me. And honestly, you need to turn it on because the storylines are great. The players that are left are great. There's some great players left in this tournament. There's no big face. A lot of the big names have been knocked out. Kay got knocked out the other night. Kay Cunningham. These guys at Iowa got knocked out. A lot of those big names have been shut down and put out.
It's a good time to watch some of the couple of picks that are going to be in this draft. Like, I really like this draft class coming in. Like,
I do too.
Suggs is a beast.
Me too.
Mobley reminds me of baby Chris Bosh. Like, that dude is
nice. Pistons better not mess this up because we're going to probably be we going to have a lot of balls in that lottery.
Yeah, the top 10 picks in this draft could all come in and play. I'm talking about playing high-level basketball first day.
Yes, and we're going to have one of those top 10
picks. And this draft is deep, too, because you're going to find some gems in the second round, too. Like,
I agree with that. Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, honestly speaking, and I'm going to be honest about this, LaMelo going down for me was not the worst end of the world. And in saying that, for being a Charlotte fan, I kind of hope they don't make the playoffs at this point so they can get in the lottery and get one of those picks to kind of help them.
You see what he did, Ken, right? Mm-hmm. He talked himself into that shit. This nigga crumpled up his cap when LaMelo wrist broke. Now he's talking about, oh, no, this is actually really good for us. Nah, nigga, we ain't believing that shit. Yo, don't come on here saying that.
I had to make lemonades out of lemons, man. I'm telling you.
Man, let that man live, man. Charlotte is relevant for the first time since when? Let that man live, man.
That's why I'm honestly like, man, we need to lose this game right here so we just need to get back in the lottery, man, so we get one of them guys, man.
I see we're putting the two gentlemen in the studio to sleep, so I guess we should move on with this.
No. We watching FIFO getting his ass busted. We watching FIFO. He was the reason why we were so interested is because he been talking all this shit like he going to win the league. This nigga getting his ass busted right now.
You missed the beginning of the show. What's your thoughts on the whole Deshaun thing?
Oh man, it's either two things with this Deshaun thing. Either Houston is really trying to sabotage this dude's character, or the Texans knew that what he was, what he was doing, and the fact that he wanted to get out of trade, they was like, okay, cool, we about to fucking sabotage you anyway. Because all these women coming out, it's almost like somebody got to be telling the truth. Like, not all of them got to be lying. You know what I'm saying? So that's the scary thing about it. Like, it's like, damn, it's not looking too good for him because more women keep coming out. It's like, okay, one of them, two of them got to be telling the truth. You might have 19 of them lying, but somebody, two of those is probably telling the truth. So that's not a
look. I'm with you, B.
So it's just like,
yeah, I'm here with you.
It's like, man. So it's like I said, either that or like I said, Texans knew this whole time that he's been creeping. And they just like, okay, well, since you want to trade and we trying to keep you and you still want to go, well, guess what? Bam, here you go. We're going to sabotage.
What if it's Deshaun? He want to be out of Houston so bad. He done paid up like 15 women. They like, yo, just say this shit about me. And somebody threw that out there. I was like,
that's a gamble, bro. That's a hell of a gamble.
That's a hell of a gamble right there. In this climate. Yeah. You can't be.
He wouldn't dare do nothing like that.
Hey, B, I thought you was about to say it's one or two things. Either he did or didn't do it. I was about to say, okay.
No. I'm just thinking of the scenario. No, I'm just thinking of the scenarios. No, I was thinking of the scenarios.
I was like, boy, he about to state the obvious right now. So thank you for that.
We'll see what happens with this, man. That's going to be the biggest story now. I mean, this throws everything into a whirlwind right now, too, but... the draft and everything. I mean, because let's say this plays out and this is something serious here. I mean, at one point, they're from a PR perspective, they're probably going to have to release him. right? Like if this is if this turns out to be what we think
they're gonna Ray Rice him.
Yeah, they're gonna have to, right? They're gonna have to just cut bait with him, and he's gonna be persona non grata with the league. Like, ain't nobody gonna pick him up at least right away until he clears up his name and figures out what the hell is going on. So this throws a lot of balls in the air as far as Houston and that whole situation. Yeah, it's interesting, man. I don't know. I don't know what to even say about it, because again, it's just a fluid situation that keeps changing every day. That's how we got here now.
Bro, the stories is insane.
Said she tried to wrestle him. He tried to wrestle one of them to make her. Yeah, man.
I haven't even read the story.
He
wrapped her leg, his legs around her head or some shit like that.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
They said that there was a story I read that they said that he forced a lesbian to give him head. I'm like,
what?
Right.
And they said allegedly.
We don't want to get me trying to get sued. That
after his lawyers were made aware of the allegations, he did it again.
Jeez.
So they're saying that the latest case, I think, was March 3rd, and they let them know before that or something like that. That's the craziest thing to me. So if you knew you were under investigation and you did it again, like, come on, man.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. Man, we'll see.
Well, all right. Yeah, I guess we'll be back Thursday, maybe, to recap the trade deadline. So we'll try to get put together a crew to come talk about that. Yeah, we gotta talk about the trades that happened. So man, we thank you guys for showing up, man. We'll catch you guys then. We out. Peace.
Peace. This episode is brought to you by 1010. Now, you may have read about this in the New York Times or Forbes, and we're excited to tell you about it. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at Blue Nile. And when they're gone, they're gone. We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 1010, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're making 2021 plans or on the hunt for the perfect ring to wear forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com.